You're listening to the Business of African Fashion podcast with Victory. This is an online community where we teach passionate entrepreneurs how to build and maintain profitable fashion businesses while connecting with other fashion entrepreneurs. Get ready to be empowered with actionable strategies that can be applied to your business today. Let's start the show. Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of the Business of African Fashion podcast. I'm Victory and I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for joining me today. As you can see from the podcast title, today I'm going to be talking about how to identify your calling in fashion. And the way that I'm going to do this is share my own origin story. So I'm going to basically walk you through my life and my journey and how I've ended up in this fashion space. So if you roll back the hands of time to when I was younger, back to my childhood, so a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Nigeria, and you know, growing up in Nigeria, you see people wearing Ankara all the time. You know, there's people who are also wearing like t-shirts and jeans. I feel like in my experience, Nigeria's fashion was, you know, a mix of a lot of different things. So I was exposed to that and I saw that growing up. But one thing I do remember is when I was about maybe 6 or 7, my great grandmother had passed away. Bless her soul, rest in peace, great grandma. And what happened was that we all went over to Osun State in SLK for the burial. And I don't remember much of that event, but what happened is that recently my mom sent, because my mom goes down memory lane, so she sent me and my siblings pictures from that particular event. And when I look at the pictures, I'm like, wow, I have no memory of this. Like, I literally don't remember the physical events of that day. But what I realized is that the lace that we all wore for the burial, weirdly enough, I don't remember any of the events that happened, but I remember the patterns of the lace. So I was like, oh, I've seen this lace somewhere before. And my mind remembered like, yeah, this is the lace that they used at great grandma's burial. So it's little things like that for me, my childhood, that I would pick up on, you know, like the patterns of lace on fabric or the designs on Ankara that people were wearing. And I would just, you know, take note of things like that. And up to this day, I still remember, like, if I've seen a kind of Ankara pattern somewhere before, I'll be like, I've seen this somewhere before. So for me, my childhood was, you know, looking at different fabric patterns. And growing up, I was a bit of a fashionista. There's a photo of me where, you know, I was wearing this like kind of outfit and I was carrying this polka dotted bag, and I had my own little fashion adventures going on. But that was the start of fashion for me. But I think that it was in my teenage years that fashion really took off in a different way for me. So when I was a teenager, I mentioned my great-grandmother. So I went into my mom's room this day, and now we're, you know, were my teenage years, right? So I went into my mom's room one day and I saw this box, right? It was this box, but it was covered up. So I was like, what is this? And, you know, I got curious. Of course, I went and opened it. I didn't even ask my mom. So, you know, that was me snooping around. And I opened it and I saw a sewing machine. And I was like, wow, like, I didn't know we had a sewing machine. Like, I didn't even know this was an option, you know. So I was like talking to my mom, like, who owns this sewing machine? And, you know, why can't I use it? And my mom was explaining to me, like, it's a family heirloom. And basically what that is something that's passed down from generation to generation. And funny story is the sewing machine actually belonged to my great-grandmother, the one that we went to her burial. Or her funeral. So, you know, that sewing machine really sparked something on the inside of me. I was like, I'm really interested. Like, I was begging my mom to please fix up this sewing machine for me. I wanted to use it. I wanted to try it. But of course, the sewing machine was already so old. Like, you know, the sewing machine was older than me, my mom, and my grandma combined, you know. So it was like, the sewing machine was old. It was more of like a, you know, remembering, it was more of like a remembrance more than it was like something that was actively supposed to be used. But you know, after I found that sewing machine, I went on to continue sewing with needle and thread. So at this point, my curiosity had really grown. So I would use a needle and a thread to sew like entire clothes, like entire dresses with a needle and a thread. So my parents really saw that passion in me, and they were really very, very supportive of me. And for my 15th birthday, my parents ended up buying me a sewing machine. Now, people might think that's not a big deal, but my parents weren't the type to get us birthday presents. So me getting a sewing machine is the only gift I've ever received from my parents for my birthday. And it was that one-time sewing machine. So I know that it wasn't more of like a, we're getting you something for your birthday. It was more of, we see this passion in you and we want to show you that we support you. So my parents got me that sewing machine for my 15th birthday, and I was so, so, so excited. I was like, wow, this is amazing. So then I continued sewing with that sewing machine. I would practice and practice, and, you know, the sewing machine sometimes would give me problems, as, you know, some of you might know if you have your own sewing machine, that sometimes, you know, the thread would get bundled up, and I would get frustrated because I'm like, I finally have this sewing machine now, but sewing machine is giving me problems. So, you know, it was just, you know, me and this sewing machine on and off, on and off. And then the really interesting part of the story is that in Nigeria, at the time when I was entering SS1, for those who are not familiar with that grading system, I think that's year 10, right? So when I was entering SS1, that's year 10, there was a new curriculum that they actually introduced where all of us had to take something that was like a trading course. So I think the Nigerian government had a theory where they wanted more people to do things with their hands, right? Because not everybody would end up in a white collar position, which I think is amazing. And I will delve into more of that on this podcast as well, as we talk about, you know, the role that fashion has in the development of the economy and how we can help to take Africa to the next level. So basically, when I was entering SS1, they introduced this new curriculum at my school where it could be one of two options. You could either be in a cooking class, which they called like catering, or you could be in a garment making class, which was basically like, you know, sewing, fashion design, and all of that. So it was a no-brainer for me. I was like, oh, absolutely, put me in the sewing class. And this is how I know, like, if you're a believer, which I am a believer, I feel like, not even I feel like, I know that God is involved in the details of our lives. So for me, that class or that curriculum being added at the exact moment where I needed it in secondary school. And you want to hear something crazy? After I left secondary school, it wasn't up to 2 years after they scrapped that curriculum. So I knew that this was definitely something that God is so involved in the details of my life that He provided that curriculum and that class for me to be able to learn the foundations of what is my, you know, I learned a lot of things in that class that are the foundations of my fashion knowledge today. So just a slight plug for God there. He's very, very involved in the details of our lives. So, you know, just a shameless plug. But anyway, so back to secondary school, I was in that garment making class. You know, me and my friends, we would have like these brown papers and we would make patterns, and, you know, we would have fun. We would use needle and thread to sew. We would do all kinds of things. I remember our favorite style to make, get ready, it's nothing crazy. We used to make skater skirts a lot, because skater skirts was like, I feel like skater skirts is the easiest thing that you can make, because, you know, you just fold the fabric, you cut it, you make a band. We used to make so many skater skirts. Oh my goodness. I feel like everyone's project was its skater skirts, but that was like one of our favorite pieces to make. And I think it was in SS2 or something, they had a fashion show. Oh my God. When I tell you, nobody could tell me anything, because I was like, nah, I'm certified. I'm a fashion designer. Everybody and their father must know. So I had one model, and, you know, I made her this maxi dress. I still remember my model. Her name was Nkechi. Shout out to you, girl. So, you know, she wore that dress, and, you know, we had the fashion show. Everybody presented their stuff and they were on stage. And for me, even though it was in secondary school and, you know, it was all banter and it was all jokes, for me, it really set something off inside of me, like this belief that anything is absolutely possible, especially when it comes to fashion. And, you know, the parents were applauding. Everybody was like, oh my God, these designs are so good. Like, you guys made these with needle and thread. Like, you don't even have a sewing machine and you're doing all of these amazing things. Now, when you get all the resources that you need, I wonder how much more you're going to be able to produce. So that was very, very, very encouraging for me. And then, you know, of course, I graduated from secondary school. And then when I was in secondary school, I was in commercial class, which is social sciences. And, you know, my passion was economics, accounting, government, you know, things of that nature. I've always been very passionate about things like that. So when I graduated from secondary school, I wanted to go into university to study econ. But then I also really loved accounting. So I was like, oh my God, how am I going to fit these two together? But then my mom ended up saying, hey, Victory, we should enroll you to be an apprentice to learn tailoring. So I ended up being an apprentice, you guys. Like I ended up being a legit apprentice, you know, like apprentices that work for tailors and, you know, do all of that stuff. I was there for a couple of months. I didn't do freedom, so don't ask me if I did freedom. Maybe one of these days I'll go back and do freedom, but I still haven't done freedom. But I was an apprentice. That's something that happened. And, you know, those months of being in that tailor shop were so, so instrumental for me. I learned so much about the garment making process, the fashion design process. I got to see clothes from start to finish. I got to see the cutting, the pattern making, the sewing, the lining, the beading, the fitting of the customer, the pricing, you know. And it was really fun being around all the girls, because it was all girls that were at this particular tailor shop. And, you know, I learned so, so, so much even during the short time that I was there. And then after I left that apprenticeship place, I moved to the US for college, right? So you remember the sewing machine my parents got me for my birthday? That ended up being in Nigeria, because obviously I couldn't move it across the seas. So it was left back home. And then when I ended up getting to the US, right, I was like, okay, I'm here now. I was doing econ. You know, I started off with economics as my major. And then further down the line, I ended up changing to accounting, which is a different story for another day. But I ended up getting to the US like in January, right? And I tell you, by May, I already saved up enough money to buy myself a new sewing machine, because this is how passionate I was. And now looking back, like at the time, I didn't even realize what this thing was. I just thought it was this hobby that I enjoyed doing. I did not know that I was being prepared and I was being primed to lead, you know, a fashion business and to actually turn this thing into something that is worth something, something that's life-changing and all of that. So, you know, just when you look back on your life, you begin to see those moments where you're like, oh, there was that moment where this passion really bloomed. And for me, I ended up getting that sewing machine right after I got to the US for college. And then, you know, throughout university, that was my quote-unquote side hustle, right? I would fix clothes for people. I would make clothes for people. I would mend clothes for people. You know, if you're familiar, like if you live in the US, you probably know a lot of people here will not have Ankara and like traditional clothes. But then when they go home, their parents will sew clothes for them and send it back with them, right? But then when they end up getting to the US, it's either too big or it's too tight, or, you know, the styles are not flattering. So they would bring it to me, right? So they would have their tailor in Nigeria make the clothes for them, but then they would now bring it to Victory to, you know, help them add all the spice and stuff. So that was my side hustle in college. If you had a side hustle in university, definitely tag me at boaf.info on Instagram and let me know what your side hustles were in university. I'm actually curious to find out what you all were up to. All right, back to the story. So this was the point where this was my side hustle in college, right? It was really, really fun for me, but I didn't have a business model, right? It was just on a whim. Sometimes I wouldn't even charge people because I was afraid. Let me tell you something, guys. I was afraid of charging some people because they intimidated me. So then instead of me saying, I'm afraid of you, I'm not going to take your clothes to sew, I would not charge them. Like, they would literally pay me $0 and I would be fixing their clothes for them because I was intimidated. And then the people that I wasn't intimidated by, I was like, okay, this person is my friend. So I would be doing so much for them, but I would only charge them like $5, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, with the amount of work I'm doing, $5 is not, you know, a fair payment for the work that I was doing. But when you're intimidated and when you don't know your worth, you tend to undercut yourself. But a different conversation for another day. This is my journey. This is my story. And that's why I'm sharing it with you, just so that you understand where I'm coming from. And so in college, I did all of that. I was even in a pageant. So for those who don't know, yes, I am a pageant girl. I do have a state title for the state of Oklahoma in 2019 that I participated in. And for my talent, I made my own dress and, you know, I just showed my talent and judges were really impressed. So I ended up winning two of those pageants. So that was really, really fun for me. And then in my final year, right, this was 2020, the year of our Lord. So my final year of college, COVID-19 hit. So that was very, very devastating for me. I lost a lot of things. I lost a lot of people, a lot of friends, a lot of relationships, and a lot of dreams and aspirations during that year. My graduation ended up being canceled, and, you know, so much happened to me personally in 2020. I decided then that I was going to make this thing like a legit fashion company, right? So I enrolled in this African fashion business course. I was very, very insightful. I learned the foundations of building a fashion business online. And, you know, I started working on that, I ordered samples from Nigeria. And then I decided I was going to launch my first line with just bonnets, right? I didn't want to do too much. I didn't want to have, like, too many options because I didn't know what people wanted and what people didn't want. So I started with just bonnets. And, you know, this time I did a little bit better than I did in college. I actually had a price and I stuck to my price and I wasn't giving everybody friends and family discounts. You know, I was trying to, you know, do this business thing as best as I could, right? So that was 2020. But what I realized, what happened to me was I burnt out. I'm telling you, after the bonnets launch, and this was also the time when I started working in accounting because I had gotten a job in accounting. So I was doing accounting and, you know, selling bonnets in the evenings. It was very tiring for me. I burnt out. I didn't feel like I was connecting with my audience. I didn't feel like my message was really getting out there. I felt like I was striving to sell. So then I decided, you know what, I'm just going to leave this hanging where it's hanging. So I already burnt out. So I just kind of left it. You know, I look at my Instagram page once in a while and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm so sad. I haven't posted in months. You know, I burnt out basically with that business. So to backtrack from the beginning, like how many side hustles have I had in this quote unquote entrepreneurship fashion space? The first one was when I was a teenager. I actually forgot the story, so I'm just going to add it in. When I was a teenager, right, I was doing this creative thing where I would take hardcover notes and I would wrap them with Ankara. And then I would try to sell them to people, right? And I would try to sell them to people like, hey, this isn't just a notebook, but, you know, it's creative, it's fun. You can have beautiful patterns that other people don't have and, you know, things of that nature. Guess what, guys? Not a single person bought one of those Ankara wrapped notebooks. And not because they weren't good quality, but because the people around me at the time, Ankara notebook was not their priority. These people were trying to get by. They were trying to live. You know, they weren't looking for Ankara cover notebook. It wasn't something that was on their priority list of spending money on, right? So I wasn't able to sell any of those. So I ended up, you know, just, my siblings are always the ones that end up with all of my inventions and creations. So my younger sister ended up modeling one of those Ankara cover notebooks for me. I remember we still have that picture. But I ended up not being able to sell as much of those as I could. So that was my first business. Second business was my side hustle in college, you know, where I was fixing clothes for people, didn't have a business model. I was intimidated. I would not charge people. If I charged them, I would only charge them very small. And, you know, it was more of a loss to me than it was a profit. And then this was my third business, which was the one with the bonnets, where I ended up burning out because I just didn't feel like I was connecting with the people I needed to connect with. So after that third business, which is a bonnet, I ended up just taking a break for a while. And, you know, that's when I really grew deeper in my relationship with God. And what God really told me is that I needed to start this platform called The Business of African Fashion and grow with other entrepreneurs who are going to be in the African fashion space. And so I was like, all right, cool. If you say so, I'll do it. So here we are doing what God said to do. I'm really curious to know what your origin story is. Like, where did fashion start for you? When did you start thinking about fashion as an art or even as a business? Like, was this something that you started when you were younger? Was this something you kind of stumbled upon? Was this something you kind of fell into? Like, I'm really curious to hear your origin story. So if you want to write like a quick origin story of yours and share that with me, I would love to hear it. Just send it to me at businessofafricanfashion@gmail.com, or you can also send me an Instagram DM at boaf.info on IG as well. I would love to hear your origin story, and I'll do another episode on this. But your origin story is very, very important because people love a good story. If you're listening up to this point, you've been with me about 20 or so minutes, people love a good story, and it's what's unique about you, and it can really help you sell your brand. It can really help you market your brand, and also it just helps people connect with you, right? It helps you, you know, having something interesting and funny for people to hear, like, okay, this is how this person started. So I really encourage you to write your origin story and definitely share it with me. I know that mine started, you know, early childhood and then teenage years and then my 20s. I know that there might be people who are older than I am or younger than I am. So I definitely don't discriminate. Wherever you are in your journey is where you're at. So definitely get that origin story map and map out your origin story. And I will be looking forward to hearing those. So to wrap up this episode, I know you're probably wondering, why do I need to do my origin story, right? I think for me, my origin story really, first of all, it's fun, right? It's a fun conversation starter. It's a fun networking elevator pitch. If people meet me and they say, Victory, how did you get started in fashion? I always tell them the story about finding my great-grandmother's sewing machine in my mom's room. People always laugh at that and they're like, wow, that's so interesting. You know, I never would have thought of that, right? So it helps people remember me. It helps people remember my story. It helps people connect with me. That's the first reason why your origin story is necessary. Second reason for me why the origin story is important is that whenever I start to feel down, whenever I start to question myself, whenever I start to get intimidated and the thoughts come up to me like, oh, are you really in fashion? Like, you don't even deserve to be here. The origin story helps me trace it back to the root and remember that there is a reason why I'm here. There are so many events and circumstances in my life, like, you know, the whole story I just told, that point to the fact that I am meant to be here, that point to the fact that I am here for a reason, that point to the fact that this is and always has been a passion of mine, right? So the origin story just helps me keep things in perspective, because I know that a lot of times when you're building a fashion business, especially in the African, you know, in the African space, sometimes you can get down, you can get intimidated, you can start to question if this is even where you're supposed to be. So the origin story helps you to remember that you're here for a reason. It helps you remember that you're here for a purpose, so that when you do get tired, you can take a break instead of just quitting entirely. So those are my two reasons for the origin story. So again, to recap, check out the PDF of the origin story map in the show notes. Make sure that you download that and write your origin story. Feel free to share with me at businessofafricanfashion@gmail.com, or you can send me an Instagram DM at boaf.info. I have really enjoyed this episode. Let me know what your feedback is. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And I will see you guys in the next episode.